just to be sure, you'll run this Section 30 through the Legislative Council once more before it goes to full committee. Anything else we need to include in the amendment? Any discussion for the amendment? If there's no objection, amendment is adopted.
Would you move House Bill 2338 as amended to the full committee with the Dupas recommendation?
Senator Hamby moves to send the amended House Bill 2338 to the full committee with a Dupas recommendation. Any discussion?
Only to ask, Madam Chair, I don't
Hanlon.
Know that I have a list of all of the public and private organizations that supported the bill. So Gary and Kim and you folks, wherever the list is, that long list of everybody that supported the substantive committee needed for House floor discussion.
Madam Chair, we've already requested that list, and the department has prepared a list that will be included in your folder.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to have a written report on the added cost.
Yes.
Well, the chair was uncomfortable at first about the added interest rate regarding hardship that might be imposed on families who can least afford to pay this added cost. But as we have, as hearings progress, I guess I'm feeling more comfortable about this bill and become more aware of the need for this bill. I've become so much aware of it that I'm willing to carry this bill to the full committee when it passes the committee. And I appreciate all the information the department provides and all the other parties have provided. There's a motion on the floor, and all those, if there's no further discussions, all those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. Assistant will call the roll.
Representative Hanneman?
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye. Motion is carried.
Madam Chair, Senator Cease asked if she might be the carrier on the Senate floor. You'll be the carrier for this bill to the full committee. I'd ask Mr. Munn or anyone in the audience if there was a member on the House side who had a particular interest in carrying this bill on the House floor. Before you decide whether you want a House member to carry from the subcommittee?
You mean House Committee, Revenue Committee has volunteered to carry on the House floor?
No, that's what I'm asking now, is perhaps you might wish some guidance from Mr. Munn that there might be a House member who's particularly interested in this bill. Your staff does not know.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to carry it subject to a Revenue Committee member approaching you and asking to carry it.
Well, I'm considering carrying this myself, so I'll talk to Chair of Revenue Committee, Senate Revenue Committee, and discuss this further with her. Because it is a Ways and Means bill. So leave it until I'll confirm it further. And
did your job well,
down.
Rich.
I'll put down Representative Hanneman on the House side. Mm-hmm. Anything else to come before the committee? If not, meeting's adjourned. General Government Subcommittee will come to order. We are going to have a hearing and work session on Senate Bill 5554.
Yes, although I think Ken Jones has something, I don't know what wants to inject here.
Mr. Jones, what would you like to tell the committee?
Madam Chair, if I may interrupt your proceeding for just a moment, I'd like to ask the committee to reconsider Senate Bill 5568, which was for the Homeowners and Renters Property Tax Refund Program and the Senior Citizens Deferral Program. We had anticipated some savings in this program and so suggested to you a lower appropriation level for HARP, and you adopted $114 million. We're uncomfortable with that figure. The better figure to use is $116 million, and we'd ask that you can reconsider that amount.
Uh, First, we need to have a motion to reconsider.
Madam Chair, I will move reconsideration of 55, House Bill 5568.
Senate Bill 5568.
Okay.
The vote by which it passed.
Yes.
If there's no objection, motion is reconsidered. We have 5568 in front of us. And why do you want to change it from 114 million to 116 million?
Madam Chair, you'll recall that when we brought this forward to you earlier, we had expected that there would be some additional savings possible with legislation. That legislation is in conference. Its future is in doubt, and it is prudent to go ahead and add an additional $2 million to the HARP program.
Oh, you mean House Bill 2234 is in doubt? Such a good bill.
Well, we're not sure what's going to happen to it, and there is enough of an estimating error possibility there that we think that the prudent thing to do would to go ahead and budget this at the amount that was recommended by the Legislative Revenue Office.
And it will be within the spending limit?
That's right, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I will move that Senate Bill 5568 be adjusted from the current figure of $114 million to $116 million.
Senator Hanby moves to amend the budget from $114 million to $116 million. Any further discussions? If there's no further discussion, the budget is amended. Senator Hanby moves to send Senate Bill 5568 to the floor or to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussions? If not, committee assistant will call the roll. Oh, before you call the roll, can we send a letter or message to the conference committee to urge the passage of House Bill 2234?
Madam Chair, we may not have time to make a written communication, but I will make a verbal communication to the staff.
Now, that's the one that limits the income to $17,500 and the household asset to $25,000.
It makes a number of changes in that area, yes.
Yes. Will you make sure you convey the committee's message that we feel it's a good bill and we urge passage? Committee assistant will call the roll.
Representative Hanneman, excuse me.
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Senator Hanby?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye. Motion's carried. And the chair will carry the bill to the full committee and to the Senate floor.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And who did I assign for the House? Oh, it passed the House. Has it passed the House?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Representative Soa, do you want to?
It's a budget bill, and we just sent it out a day or so ago, and so I'm sure it hadn't passed anywhere.
Representative Soa, do you want to carry this bill on the House floor? Executive Department.
Yes, mm-hmm. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. We're bringing back the Executive Department budget to you because I made an error in that I left out $135,419 out of my recommended spending limitation for the Personnel Division. You have a copy of a request that came to me came to Senator Yee in early April or mid-April, and then I have a copy, if you're interested, of the tapes from that period where we discussed the amendment, and I have reviewed the tapes where we discussed the amendment, and the amendment was recommended. Mm-hmm. Just to refresh your memory, this was the case where this was the package that extended the Personnel Division's database mm-hmm. project into this biennium and scheduled to be completed during this biennium, and it involved the limited duration position for a position that is really a permanent position in budget management. I think Mr. DeGroote was here and testified somewhat on that particular database project for the Personnel Division. He has been on loan from the Budget and Management Division to the Personnel Division for the last couple of years, and that the agency failed to get that into their budget, and it was a technical adjustment, and then I failed to get it into my recommendation. It doesn't increase overall their FTE, it simply moves the expenditure limitation and places it in the Personnel Division. It doesn't reduce the expenditure limitation of the Budget Management Division because Mr. DeGroot's position had to be filled on a temporary basis while he's gone from there. But it just gives the Personnel Division the authority to expend. No new source of revenue, they have the revenue. Just doesn't leave Mr. DeGroot hanging out there without an FTE and a salary since he's a permanent person. And we would, what this does is change the Personnel Division expenditure limitation. It's a totally other funds limitation. It changes it. It increases it to $9,039,280. It was $8,009,000 something previously. And we would urge your approval of this amendment. And you all have new budget reports.
Are going to increase an FTE in Personnel and Labor Relations?
Yes. It's a person that's already there. It's just that they inadvertently left him out of the budget request, and then when they requested a technical adjustment, we discussed the technical adjustment, but I forgot to put it in the budget report.
Okay, so how much is this one FTE?
It's one FTE for the total biennium. It's $135,419. That includes salary, and I think there's around $4,000 or something of services and supplies that go along with that.
That's a pretty expensive FTE.
This is a biennial FTE, and this is a top-level data processing person. It's the person who...
$5,000 means $62,000 a year?
That's salary and OPE. Remember that the OPE rate is about close to 40%, 38 to 40%.
And what is the $4,000?
That's services and supplies that are associated with that project.
Oh, so with the FTE, this minus,
yeah,
this FTE part, Personnel Division.
You have a new budget report, Madam Chair. I've given you a brand new budget report to go along with that, a letter that explains the original request. I think that you probably have opened your file, and maybe the things are over here behind, underneath here.
Because the FTE in the budget report now is, what is the FTE under the budget report now?
It's 76 for the Personnel Division. It would go to 77. The total FTE would go to 385.2 from 384.2.
Oh, so the increase in FTE will become 11.46 instead of 10.46.
Yeah.
Oh. Madam Chair, if you're ready for a motion.
Well, that's all the...
We would need a motion to reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
This has passed through the full Ways and Means, but it hasn't gone to the House or Senate.
Senator Hamby moves that we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 5554 passed this committee. Any discussion? If there's no discussion, the motion is reconsidered.
Madam
the
Chair,
bill is now in front of us.
I will move the recommended adjustment to the technical adjustment to the Personnel Division section of the budget.
Senator Hamby moves to amend Senate Bill 5554 by adding technical adjustment to Personnel and Labor Relations Division by
$135,419 increase with the note of one additional FTE.
And $4,000 services tax.
No, that's part
that's
of the one.
Part of
that's included.
Mm-hmm.
By $135,019.
$419.
By adding one FTE to the Personnel and Labor Relations Division, and this is a technical adjustment. Mm-hmm. any discussion on the amendment. Representative Soa.
Madam Chair, you dropped the gavel so fast I was intending to vote no on the previous motion. And I just would like to know what this person does. Apparently his salary is $38,000 plus.
This person...
Only $7,000 for...
Madam Chair, Representative Soa, this person is the person who is the head of the budget and management automated budgeting and automated position control system in the executive department. Because of the complexity of the six-year program to automate the personnel system and tie it in with the budgeting system, this person was transferred during the course of the last biennium from the head of budget and management's automated systems to head the personnel project. And it's a long time employee, highest level automated employee in terms of the budget and management system. And that's, I don't recall exactly, I think it's a salary range, what?
32. Well, my only comment, it sounds like a good guy to get rid of.
Sounds like a good guy. We should keep him.
No, get rid of
him. Get rid of him.
It's too high.
It is very high. Why is a budget, he's a budget management officer?
Madam Chairman, Don Pure, Executive Department. Mr. DeGroot is the manager, has been the manager for many years. Of the automated budget information system, basically all systems relating to the production of the budget, the assembly of data, the interface with the legislative fiscal office, and I might say it quite simply, he is almost since 1977, for one thing I'll tell you right now, without any qualification, he's a brilliant person. He has almost single-handedly put together the automated systems that we rely on and have been used as prototypes for the rest of the United States as far as budgeting is concerned. The work he has done has been the object of review by the National Association of State Budget Officers, National Governors Association, and I could go on in terms of what he has achieved for the state of Oregon. We would not be able to produce right now, we would not be able to produce the budget that's required on December 1 of the even numbered years for the governor if it were not for the work that Mr. DeGroot has done over this period. He manages an organization of about 12 to 13 people. He is on loan because, quite frankly, within the public and private sectors, it has been virtually impossible to find the kinds of talent and skill that he possesses. So I wouldn't hesitate.
Mr. Pierre, why is he in personnel and labor relations and not in budget and management division?
Madam Chair, he is there because we are putting together right now a have been, as Ms. Archer has pointed out, a multi-biennium project to modify the personnel record system to produce a database system. Please don't ask me to define what all that will do. I don't understand half of it myself. But it's the modification of the record system and personnel that will tie it into leave accrual systems, payroll systems, the budget system, and the other pieces of the record keeping process that relate to personnel management. It's a big just in terms of volume, it's a big project. It's a very complicated project. You've seen pieces of it that relate up to now for the past several years. You've seen the payroll system come before you for relief and modification. We're trying to tie that in. It's basically a big data processing system. Mr. DeGroot was loaned to him because, quite frankly, that's the kind of talent that we needed. It was just too big for any other staff. We had other management staff, but this was too big.
Representative Soa.
But during the legislative session, he hasn't been with his regular job, been somewhere else.
Madam Chair, Representative Sawi, no, he's not been with his budget management job now for 2 years.
He's been here.
He's been in this personnel area for the past 2 years. We've temporarily backfilled in budget management with people from that staff, some limited duration people. But no, he has not been in his regular budget management job now for 2 years. He's been running this project out of two offices, basically the Information Systems Division over in the Revenue Building and the Personnel Division in the Executive Building. That's where his staff is divided up. Does that answer you? I'm not sure that answered your question, sir.
Yeah, it does.
His position is filled in budget and management temporarily by the person who was under him.
That's correct.
But if he's so important, how can he be away for so long and not be missed?
Madam Chair, Peggy Archer, I think that he is missed very much. I can tell you from working in the Legislative Fiscal Office that he's missed very much. The point is that the personnel data project that he's working on will tie in more closely with the budget. And so what he is doing is working on a huge data processing project that will incorporate personnel records into the budgeting process, and one of the primary goals of that is to provide more accurate information for labor negotiations, because that information now sits out as a strictly personnel related thing. Payroll happens to be in the accounting division. And then automated position information control system, PICS, is in the budget and management division. ABIS is in the budget and management division. His project is to take those things and tie them all together so that the information will be interchangeable and we'll all be together and more accurate.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say ABIS,
Automated Budget Information System. It's the state's automated budgeting system.
I apologize, Madam Chairman, for using the acronyms like PICS, and that's Position Information Control System, Automated Budget Information System, and the Statewide Financial Reporting System. I would rather.
So when do you expect that he will complete this multi-division report?
End of this coming biennium, Madam Chair. That's why we're asking you to create the position limited duration. And that is despite the fact that it would be for 24 months, we're asking that you make it limited duration so it'll automatically go out of existence at the end of the biennium. 89-91 biennium.
Do we include limited duration in our FTE counts?
Yes, Madam Chair.
We do.
Mm-hmm. We do not include temporary, but we do include limited duration.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any further questions?
Frank?
This is the motion to amend. So we have a motion to amend the budget by $135,418.
$419,
in front of us. All of those, is there any objection to amend the budget? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Senator Hemby.
I will move the.
Senator Hemby moves to send the amended Senate Bill 5554 to the full committee to the full committee again, because it has been there.
Well, it has to go through adjusted. They are just like now. It had to go through here, and it's on the agenda for this afternoon.
To the full committee with a do pass recommendation. The committee assistant will call the roll.
Senator Soa?
Okay.
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
Aye. Motion is carried. Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So the difference is the total here, the general fund will be added.
Not general fund, this is other funds.
Other funds.
This is other funds?
Yeah, personnel division has no general fund.
Oh, well, indirectly it's general fund. So it just, this 90 million will just be. Senator Hamby, we need you for one more bill.
Okay, I guess they want me to come and vote in capital construction. They're ready to move on some issue, I don't know.
This will only take 5 minutes. You send me a pony for this.
Here are the ponies, here's one for the full committee and one for the.
Oh, okay.
And then here's your copy of the budget report, if they want to sign it.
Okay.
Did you want anything up here, or she's only picking?
I'll pick it up and read the notes in the brown folder. Thank you. In the brown folder, yeah. What's your notes on?
Jeanette, what are they voting on down there?
I have no idea.
Instead of mixing them together.
I'd like to find out before they ask me to vote.
Maybe I could go offset your vote.
Pardon?
I could probably go down and offset your vote.
You're finished?
We have one more bill.
You do?
Uh-huh. Senate Bill 1143, which is a bill that will establish regional centers for the teen drug treatment. Because right now there are 3 regional centers, and we need at least 2 more so that geographically it will meet the needs of Central Oregon as well as Mid-Willamette Valley. We all understand the real need for helping teen drug addicts to get rid of their problems before it gets so serious that it will increase our crime rate, increase dropout rates, increase teen pregnancies, and I think we need to build more beds in the treatment centers instead of more beds in the prison centers.
This bill has a appropriate 1-hour notification?
Yes, it was posted at 7:30.
When?
When?
Yeah.
It was.
Do you have an analyst?
As soon as.
Who's the analyst?
Who's the analyst?
Yeah, I don't know. Who is the analyst?
Do you know anything about this?
Or do we have the?
It wasn't on my schedule. Let me go ahead. Can you just stop for a second and I'll find an analyst?
That means general government subcommittee is reconvened after the recess. We are going to have hearing and work session on A. N. Groh, Senate Bill 1143. As Chair was explaining, this bill is to set up treatment centers to help the teen, the adolescent drug or alcohol addicts to overcome their problems. And hopefully we can provide some residential and follow-up outpatient treatments for these teenagers who are having problems. This bill has come from Human Resources, Senate Human Resources Committee, and we heard testimony saying that there are teenagers who have decided to ask for help, but because of lack
$15 million of the 75. And there are, again, specific criteria laid out in that application as to, you know, who should receive those funds. I can get that information to you. I failed to bring it this morning.
Will you get the information to me and
yes,
to
ma'am.
Kay as soon as possible? Assume that you apply, I'm sure you will come to the e-board and ask for approval to apply. If you apply for, say, $1 million, when do you think we can receive that money?
The award, according to the schedule that was in the application, is to be made sometime during the month of September of this year.
So we'll know by September?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, can that money be used for the establishment of these centers?
Madam Chair, it cannot be, because one of the requirements of the act, of the RFP, is that these be existing programs that are willing to expand their capacity to reduce the waiting list. They are not funding new programs with the waiting list monies.
Well,
so
in that case,
the only thing that we could do would be to increase residential beds in the three existing programs. We could not start new centers with those.
Well, in that case, at least it will relieve the money that can be used for new centers here.
Yes.
So
if the beer and wine,
yeah,
tax
with the
pass.
Beer and wine tax pass,
correct.
You can use your $1.3 million per year to set up new centers.
That would
so
make it
that
easier.
Would still help.
It would help.
Let me see. So when will we know? When you come to the emergency board and ask for authority to spend these money, if and when it's passed, and then at that time we can direct them to set up new centers based on needs, because of the policy statement here that
it would have that as an option.
That the area to be served by any new treatment shall be determined by one area that demonstrate the most need to an area with no treatment program or an inadequate program. You can be guided by these guidelines. Would that help us get the funding earlier? Because of the passage of the bill and because of passage of BN1 tax and the grant.
There are several things that would need to happen, but it's all possible, and the emergency board would be involved in both things.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be involved in the expenditure limitation for the beer and wine tax money,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be involved in approving the grant application, so you have the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to influence the course of these.
Mm-hmm. And then when they come in for increase of expenditure limitation for the grant, when they receive it, do they come in also to ask for?
Yes, they do. All that Mr. Kushner is telling you is that there are certain rules about how the money must be used.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we'll just have to use every money we can get, whether it is the grant money, the BN1 tax money, or if there's any emergency
mm-hmm.
fund money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I need to ask the co-chair to reserve money in the emergency board for this purpose, or will they consider it from what they have when it comes up?
Senator Yee, I think you need to talk to them about that, because I don't really know.
Well, at least I'll make that request.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, if it's not granted, at least we'll have some of the other funds we can rely on.
Maybe. If the House passes the tax increase and if the federal grant is approved.
That's a lot of maybes.
There are some
there.
Ifs.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's a lot more certain if I can ask them to put some money in
That's
the
correct.
Emergency board. Okay? Anything else you need to let us know? You'll let Kay and I know about the grant application.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Coming. Meeting is adjourned.